the last few chapters of Haggai, Haggai chapter 2, beginning at verse 20, on page 897, Haggai 2 and verse 20. The word of the Lord came to Haggai the second time on the 24th day of the month. Tell Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, that I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth. I will overturn royal thrones and shatter the power of foreign kingdoms. I will overthrow chariots and their horses and their drivers. Horses and their riders will fall, each by the sword of his comrade. On that day, declares the Lord Almighty, I will take you, my servant Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, declares the Lord, and I will make you like my signet ring, for I've chosen you, declares the Lord Almighty. One of the most remarkable characteristics of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's part of our lives as Christians, and one to my shame that I can all too easily take for granted, is that Jesus wants both to communicate with us and to encourage us. That, essentially, is who he is. And in this characteristic, he reflects his Heavenly Father. We see this in Zerubbabel's case in these last few verses of the prophecy of Haggai. Twice in one day, God had spoken to Zerubbabel through Haggai. And in this second communication, he clearly wanted to encourage him, as we saw in verse 23. Now, signet rings are not very high profile today, but 2,500 years ago, they were. They revealed someone's identity, and it was of this that the Lord wanted to remind Zerubbabel. He was pointing Zerubbabel beyond everyday life with everything that he needed to achieve, pointing him beyond that to who he really was, how God saw him. Zerubbabel's job, as we've been told again and again in this prophecy, was governor of Jerusalem. And that's how God has been addressing him in the rest of the prophecy. But here, for the first time, God says something else. He talks about him as my servant, showing that it was the identity of Zerubbabel that mattered most. It was the one that described his relationship with God. God wasn't denying his professional success. He'd done pretty well with life, becoming governor of Jerusalem. It's the equivalent of mayor of London. He was a kind of ancient Boris or Sadiq, really, but with slightly more power to make things happen. What God was interested in here was his relationship with him. And having flagged this up, God continues to speak about the opportunities this relationship opened up. And we see this developed in the final line of the prophecy when he's referred to as God's chosen. He'd been chosen by God. Of course, instinctively, most of us think that's very interesting, but hard to think how Zerubbabel, 2,500 years ago, can have anything helpful to say to us here today. But as exactly as God spoke through Haggai about Zerubbabel being chosen, he used the same word that was used half of a millennium later by the Lord Jesus when talking to his closest friends about how he saw his relationship with them, his relationship with Christians in subsequent centuries, and his relationship with you and me today. John chapter 15, the Lord Jesus is recorded as saying, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." And, ooh, how wonderful. And as with Zerubbabel, that fruit springs from who we are. It's not something you have to work at or feel guilty about not always producing. It springs from who we are becoming in Jesus. So just as with him, we're called, whatever else we do or achieve, to constantly find being renewed our relationship with Jesus Christ. That is our primary identity. Sounds easy, but most of us know actually it isn't. We all have roles and responsibilities. People have clear expectations of us. We can easily find our identity in our professional success, people's good opinions of us, the opportunities that seem to open up for us. Almost without noticing it, it is so easy to push Jesus slightly to the sidelines of our focus. But as we recognize that, though, and seek to renew the relationship, we begin to find that our ambitions, our values, our priorities are shaped afresh by him, because we've realized afresh our identity in him. But signet rings speak of our identity. They also speak of authority. And the fruit of spiritual authority growing in us with the help of the Holy Spirit is that we begin to pray boldly and specifically. We begin to pray those prayers we almost worry about praying because we're half convinced we're going to be disappointed. We have become those who expect to hear God, both for ourselves and for other people. We often listen to God, listen to the Holy Spirit in the prayer meeting just before the service. I'm conscious that I often subconsciously opt out of hearing God because I'm not very good at hearing him when it comes to prophetic words or pictures or whatever. Subconsciously, I've come to rely on two or three other people who always have a word from the Lord. And you know when they say it, it's straight from God. But I've slightly downplayed my expectations. Authority means also having a sense of anticipation about what God is going to do, a new expectation of what he's going to do in me and in you today. I wonder if that's where you are today, even if I'm not quite there. That my identity is not in everything else, but primarily in Jesus. That I'm growing in spiritual authority. Wonder whether you are as well. And if not, what are the particular pressures that are stopping us bearing the fruit that Jesus wants to see in us? Are we asking him to help us with that? Our identity, our spiritual authority, where are you with that today?